no deal at Stormont, no local government, and yet MLAs continue to cost you £1 million a month. Their pay continues, but should it? Is it now time for the Secretary of State to set a deadline for MLA pay being stopped? Alan McQuillan, the former PSNI Assistant Chief Constable, he sat on the independent review panel who set MLA pay, has told the Belfast Telegraph it is time to turn the tap off. We want to know what you think this morning. 03030 80 55 55. Alan, what should the Secretary of State be doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I mean, I suppose what he should be doing and what he is doing. I mean, I was told about 3 weeks ago by a political source that one of the first things that was agreed in the talks was that if the talks failed, they'd still carry on paying. So I think, in a sense, this discussion's a completely lost cause because they've already done a deal to protect their pay and allowances. And I can understand that the Secretary of State wants to keep alive some sort of hope that people will get back together and get back into government. But it's £1 million a month. And, you know, we have to ask, you've just carried a story there about people being given protective notice. That's going to start happening all across the piece in Northern Ireland, because without a budget, without effective decisions on where that budget is spent, then things are going to start to unravel.
And what about Brokenshire and all of this? Where is he? How much leverage should he be applying? Now, the MLAs, of course, they will say, look, they will say, hold on a second, they're still doing their constituency work, they're still doing the other work that on behalf of individuals who come into their offices on a daily basis in Northern Ireland, that continues. But if Brokenshire has any leverage, is he a good poker player? Is he applying any?
Well, who knows, because certainly there's no sign of it. And the issue about their constituency work, I fully accept it. I've repeatedly said many of our MLAs are very hardworking. Some aren't, but many, many of them are. And they do try and do a good job for people. But, you know, are we really going to pay £1 million a month for people to sit in the office and then fill in applications for benefits for people? Because that's what it amounts to. Because all the other major work of government, the representational work around the future structure of hospitals, around getting jobs into Northern Ireland, around the fisheries industry, we've major issues announced this week in the British fisheries policy that could have a huge positive benefit for Northern Ireland. And we have nobody in office to seize hold of that, work with the industry and make sure we secure it. So, one sense, there's a small amount of work being done on one level, which is quite expensive. On the other level, all the big issues aren't being addressed.
And what I want to know today is, what is the mood throughout Northern Ireland? Do you think that we should be giving them more time? In other words, look, it may be a knee-jerk reaction to say, OK, let's start hurting them. If they can't get a deal, let's start hurting them. Let's start hitting them in their pay packet. But these MLAs are citizens like the rest of us. They have mortgages and children to feed, like the rest of many people here in Northern Ireland. And therefore, to take their pay away from them or to cut their pay is a significant step to make. On the other side of it, if they can't do a deal, If they're so bad at negotiating compromise between each other that they cannot succeed in a deal in Northern Ireland, actually is cutting their pay the right thing to do? 03030 80 55 55. And there's not even a timeline in this, Alan. It's not even as if Brokenshire is saying, well, look, you know, you've missed a deadline, you've missed another one. Yeah, we'll give you another month. We'll give you another 2 months. We'll give you another 3 months. It's just an open-ended checkbook at the moment.
Let's get real about it. They're not even going to go back to talks till September, October. Then you're looking at least another 3 months. So we've basically got a blank check for the next 6 months. This is at a time when people in the public sector are going to be losing their jobs. People in the third sector are going to be losing their jobs. The waiting lists will continue to grow. And I think government has a responsibility to step in here and make sure there is a basic standard of government here. Now, I understand we all want to get the Assembly back up and running because whatever its faults, it's better than the alternative.
Well, actually, not everybody wants to get it. Direct rule might be better.
Well, if we get to the point where it is, and I mean, what I think the Secretary of State should be doing at the moment is, by all means, keep the door open, try and get them back underway. But one of the ways to apply pressure on that as well is bring in direct rule and have direct rule ministers sitting there starting to take some of these big decisions, starting to go out and consult whatever needs to be done on the implementation of Bingoa, start to be addressing these issues around fishing and industry and Brexit and everything else, and just show them that government can exist without them.
Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
No, I'd agree with that caller, actually, but I would say this. Stephen, you're a bit misleading. I mean, it's not the £1 million a month on MLS pay, so we're not going to save £1 million a month to wind it up. But what it says, I mean, you're talking about putting pressure. It's quite clear that the main pressure needs at the minute, even needs to be placed on Sinn Féin and to an extent the DUP. And their main players or MPs are, in Sinn Féin's case, TD. And they're not particularly worried. Sinn Féin's also an extremely wealthy party.
The million a month is pay and expenses, by the way.
Pardon?
The million a month is pay and expenses.
Well, that goes then to pay other staff as well. So you're talking quite a lot of people there. But what I think the government should do, I agree with bringing in a rolling direct rule as a gradual process. I also think they should do away with, I actually think they should scrap the St Andrews agreement. That agreement was designed to bolster the DUP and Sinn Féin. And now we've got the stage where they have overwhelmed the smaller parties. And it's quite clear that an administration run by the DUP and Sinn Féin simply can't work. And I think we should go back to the Good Friday Agreement and the way it was set up.
What I want part of this programme to be about today, though, is James Brokenshire, the Secretary of State. What is he doing?
Well, I think maybe
part of that role in Northern Ireland, that Secretary of State role in Northern Ireland, has always been to influence at times when influence is needed. Has he got any impact? Has he got any presence? Has he got any ideas whatsoever?
Is he needed, Stephen? I mean, the DUP and Sinn Féin have worked together now for a decade. Why do they need you? Gerry Adams calls the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister to fly in and let's have these big talks. Why do we need them? Why does Gerry Adams need to have talks with Theresa May and the Taoiseach to sort out a problem with a party whose party's been in government with for 10 years? It's all about grandstanding. I think maybe the present Tory government has the right idea, and hopefully the Taoiseach is the same. Stand back and let them sort out themselves.
Yvonne, morning, Yvonne.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead. Thank you
for
calling.
I was ringing in there. I'm so aggrieved this morning as a pensioner and as a disabled person that all this money's been spent on MLAs when there's really no outcome from their work or so-called work. It's okay.
They would say, of course, the constituency business that they do on a daily basis, you might not see it. It might not come to the press's attention every day of the week, but it's helping people.
I understand that, but where I live, there's very little done around here, and I have been promised by people before to call and help me out with things. Nobody ever came. So I worked in the bank, and I know that if I'd been off work, I wouldn't have been paid for 6-9 months with not doing any work. The money it's costing the country, the money it's costing for all the security to be driven about and security cars and all the rest of it, I think it's an absolute shame. You get these people who are supposed to be God-fearing people, but yet they have the nerve to turn around and take money for doing nothing. I think it's an absolute disgrace, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And I would pull the plug right away.
Jim in West Belfast. Morning, Jim.
I'm listening to this here. I am horrified at this here, that these people are going to get paid for doing nothing. Maybe if they took their wages away, it would be a kick off the backside need. Because I'll tell you why. If I didn't go to work, I wouldn't get paid, and I wouldn't be able to afford the roof over my head. If I didn't go to work for 6 weeks, my employer's hardly going to say, you sit in the house, son, and we'll pay you anyway, because, you know, it's all right. These people were voted in by the electorate to represent the electorate. In other words, get together an executive and make this country work for us. They have no incentive. If you're getting, they're getting 50, 60 grand a year. They're getting nice subsidised meals up at the big restaurant at Stormont. They're getting all the perks. Why in under God would they want to try and make this work? Because there's no incentive there. They'll sit back all summer. They'll come back in September. More talks, more faffing about. This place is a joke. I was talking to a friend in England yesterday over in Birmingham. We are a laughingstock. An absolute laughingstock. The rest of the UK is looking at us in absolute horror. Mickey Mouse politics in Northern Ireland. There's people out there, there's taxi men out there, there's self-employed men out there, men and women, building, taxiing, doing their job, and if they are dying, they have to get up and go to work because they need your money to put food on the table and pay for roof over their head. Yet these people, the arrogance from all parties, every single party of
You call it arrogance, of course. They would say, look, you know, they're doing their best to reach compromise.
You tell me the biggest mouth in the country. What are they doing to compromise? What are they doing? There's people sitting on waiting list 14, 15, 16 months. They're getting nowhere fast. We've all this here money. We've no executive to put in with it. You tell me, Brains of Britain, what they're doing. Tell me and the rest of the country.
Well, I asked both parties. I asked both the DUP.
You may as well ask the leak above your head hanging from the roof. They don't care. There's no incentive
I asked both the DUP and Sinn Féin to come onto the programme this morning to explain to you, Jim, and the other people what they're doing, and they've both refused to do so.
Of course they refused to. They're probably lying in bed and they're getting their 50 grand a year. Why would they want to talk to you? They'll sit back and they'll go out and have their nice cappuccinos and they'll go on their nice holidays. They've no incentive to do it. That's even more arrogant for them not to come on the show and talk to us, the people who voted them in. How arrogant is that there from both parties, from all parties? This country is a joke. And see, I blame people like you. You need to hammer. I know you hammer hard and you torture. You need to hammer harder. This place is a joke.
You think I need to hammer harder?
Harder.
Have you any idea? Any idea what a lot of these political parties think of me at the moment? Have you any idea?
And that's good because you annoy them, you irritate them, you get right up their skin. That's good. But you know what? This is the reality. My employer's going to say to me, you know what it is here? Don't you come to work for the next 8 weeks. But you know what it is? We'll pay you. You're no ball. You sit there and watch Jeremy Kyle.
I've said it twice this morning, though, Jim. And I'll say it again. Where's Brokenshire in all of this?
He's useless.
Where's the Secretary of State? Let me make this point to you. He's our Secretary of State. He is supposed to have presence and impact in Northern Ireland. What is he doing?
Well, then, can I answer that there, please? Theresa May is a lame duck. She couldn't care less about... And regardless of where you're from...
I'm not asking about Theresa May, I'm asking about Brokenshire.
Excuse me, you asked me a question. Would you please let me answer the question without interrupting, please? Theresa May and the Tory government could not care less about Northern Ireland, which is a shame because there's been 20 years of positive work done by all parties in the community. All Theresa May cares about and the Tory government is keeping the Tories in power. And when that happens, the people of Northern Ireland are first to suffer. 1.5 million, brilliant. Great for the economy, but it's not great for the ordinary people who want a functioning executive in this country. We are a joke. Meanwhile, these clampets get paid 30, 50, 60 grand a year for doing what? Doing what? They won't even come on the show and talk to you. They treat us with total contempt. They're arrogant and they're approached towards us.
George doesn't agree with you about cutting their pay. Tell him why, George. Morning.
Unless there's a way, we'll find a way of doing it without an impact on the staff and the offices, because I know for a fact that, I mean, you have to remember, it's not the MLS just that's being paid here. You drop it down to 180 MLS, two or three staff in every office. You know, you're going into hundreds and hundreds of people who have mortgages to pay. And I know but listen, Stephen, listen,
what
honestly.
The community groups in Northern Ireland, the youth workers who are losing their jobs or prospect losing their jobs.
My niece is a youth worker and she got a letter, no funding, Shanae, our jobs, I said our job. It wasn't we girls' fault. Do you know what I mean?
And that's a shame because we need to get that sorted at ASAP.
Get them back in the executive. They're sitting there scratching their backside. I see with all due respect, see the people they employ. It's family members, it's daughters, wives who work in their offices.
It's not all. I can give you an example.
They've got their noses dug in a big, big trough of money and we're getting taken for mugs and it's us who are paying for it. It's a joke. They should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm speaking about across the board here. You know, I know for a fact...
I'm talking about Protestant MLAs. I am being totally inclusive. I don't care what colour you are or what your creed is. It's a disgrace. We are a joke.
I'm the same. I'm going inclusively across the board. But what I'm standing up for chiefly is the workers in these offices. So they don't need their pay stopped and it's not their fault. It's not they have no input into the talks. You know, it's the people at the highest level in the party. These are workers like you and I. So they are. I know.
Hold on a second. If Joe Bloggs has a shop and Joe Bloggs has three or four workers and Joe Bloggs isn't providing their customers and that shop closes, then unfortunately that happens.
If you follow George, hold on a second. If you follow, I'm only back from holiday and you've got me shouting already. If you, George, if you follow your logic, you could maintain the pay of the back office staff and still cut the pay of the MLAs if you felt that was the right thing to do.
Put them all on job seekers, Lance. Put them all £75 a week and see how quick they get them around the table and talk.
I would be in support of that, Stephen. So would. I would be in support of that. I can give you examples here across the community up here. You know, from William Humphreys' office, we IT problems too, 3 and 4 times a week in North Belfast, that to go out of their way to support the Nicola Mallon and a council level, Paul McCusker, that have took problems with them to help me with community stuff up here over the last couple of months. They're still on the ground working with ordinary people. That goes across the board. It's not their fault. At the highest level, this can't be agreed. You need to take this problem to the very, very top of all the parties, put them in a room, lock the room, or lock
them. But is it not the case? By the way, Sinn Féin are saying that they're trying to get us someone to come on the programme. Well, let's give them time to do so.
Another thing is, too, you see, I'm not going to keep you. See this, my point is, see this here, this is a quango state. This is a dysfunctional. This is dysfunctional. I know what George is saying about the wee fella and the wee girl working in the office, maybe getting 12 grand a year wages. But you know what? That's tough. These people are getting paid 50 grand a year. They're getting all the perks. They're getting traveling the world representing Northern Ireland. And what are they doing for it? Nothing. This isn't 20 months after a good trade agreement. It's 20 years.
Well, look, okay. Hold on.
Let me say this.
Hold on, George. Hold on. Let me speak. Hold on. Jim, it is important for me to say this because I know it to be true, okay? A lot of these MLAs, indeed many of these MLAs who are currently furious at me and all that malarkey goes with the job I do, okay? They are hardworking. They are intelligent people. So to say that they're doing nothing is simply not true. It's a complex situation, Jim, in Northern Ireland. But what I'm asking this morning,
it's not complex at all.
Here are the two questions I'm asking this morning.
We are a tribal society. You're either orange or you're green. And that was proved in the March election because now the UUP and the SDLP are way good. We're actually in a worse position now than we were 20 years ago because now it's just literally it's green and orange. I just want to clarify, I understand what you're saying. They are hardworking and intelligent. But you know what? At the highest echelons of these parties, the decision makers, the people who are sitting around the table, they need to be accountable and take responsibility because this is all about, you know,
and that's part of what I want to touch upon this morning. George, one second. You see, when I try to speak, would you please let me do it? And then, come back. Is there a disconnect? This is what I'm trying to ask this morning. Is there a disconnect between the people at the top of these political parties who cannot reach agreement and the ordinary man and woman out working who are seeing Northern Ireland still in this impasse, but they have still their bills to pay. They've still got ambition for this country. They still want their kids' lives to be improved. They still want the health service to be improved. And they are seeing this impasse in Northern Ireland. And meanwhile, the other two issues are this. One, that the pay continues. So what actual leverage is there on these parties financially to reach an agreement if the money keeps on rolling in? Your money keeps on rolling in. And the next point, and I'll say it again, where is the Secretary of State? How many of you would even know his name? When you think, his name is James Brokenshire. What big move, what smart move has Brokenshire made in this country over recent times? Has he said anything that you can remember? Has he said anything that has changed the negotiation one little jot? Or actually, is it his job to sit back, essentially not have much presence whatsoever, and let the local political parties do the business? 0330 80 55 55, Wilson and Randallstown. Morning, Wilson.
Good morning.
Go ahead. What do you think?
The Sinn Féin is not going to go into government unless they get everything they want. My idea would be that all the other parties, the DUP, SDLP, UUP, Alliance and TUP, let them all sit down, and if they can come to an agreement to run the country, let them do it, and let Sinn Féin stay outside, or if they want to come in, can come in as opposition. Okay. But they'll never agree to come in until they get everything that they want.
Wilson, thank you. Sean next. Morning, Sean.
Morning, Stephen. just thinking about the DUP there, they had no problem interfering with the wages of other people, because didn't they vote for the Tories for pay freeze and the public workers?
They did. All, so the DUP...
All the policemen, firemen,
they did.
All the nurses, you're so valuable to society.
They did, yes. So what the DUP did was they voted in order to cap the pay of some of the people you've described, public sector workers like nurses. Yes, they did.
Well, the policemen here now are going to get a tight bow, the usual 12th carry on, you know, the merchant season. You know, so I think that it's a bit rich, the DUP. You know, the people they should know their wages should be frozen, because they're quite quick to jump in and interfere in other people's wages and their, you know, level of you know, their ability to pay their bills.
Sean, thank you. Newton Emerson, the commentator, joining us this morning. You wouldn't cut their pay, Newton. Why not?
Not yet. Well, it's a bit of a collective punishment because, you know, there's only two parties deadlocked, but there'd be no way to just cut their pay. And also, I mean, there are plenty of other sanctions available, plenty of other expenses and you know, special treatments that they get. And if you look back at the 2002 to 2005 suspension, the Secretary of State then, Peter Hain, didn't so much cut it as threatened to cut it on a sliding scale, which proved a lot more effective. He started talking about cutting it by 10,000, then a third, and so on. So perhaps if the Secretary of State now was in the mind for any kind of a deadline, it's something he'd consider suggesting, you know, in a few months. But I think now it would be a bit of an overreaction. Nobody was expecting a deal over the summer anyway, after
well,
all.
Well, the Secretary of State did. He told us on Monday there might be a deal this week.
Well, he has to say that, Stephen. He can't push up in front of the cameras and say, you know, this is totally hopeless until autumn. But that's been the case since April and everyone's known it.
Is the clue, Newton, not in the title? Member of the Legislative Assembly. Is the clue not in the title? They're getting paid to be an MLA while it's not up and running.
Yes, and of course it doesn't run over the summer anyway. But, you know, this is hardly the first time that we've had an interruption of the Assembly. And if the salaries are just completely cut, well, all those MLAs are going to have to go off and find some other way to make a living. And really, it is far more, that makes it far more of a nuclear option than I think you're suggesting.
But what about those people this morning, Newton, thinking to themselves, well, some of their livelihoods are under threat. They don't have any sliding scale of a pay cut. They don't have a timeline. If they get a redundancy notice in, that's it. Whether they've got kids and bills, that's it. If they're on a waiting list for their operation and they're in pain.
For goodness sake, Stephen, stop this absolute nonsense. If you're talking here about an objective of getting the executive...
Sorry, why is it nonsense to remind people about waiting lists and people sitting on them? Why is that nonsense, Newton?
Oh, my goodness, Stephen. Stephen, you can't just keep blathering on about nurses and teachers and expect that to be the entire extent of an argument.
Sorry, why is it nonsense is what I'm asking.
If you're talking here about restoring the executives, have to consider cutting pay is the best way to do that. And it may not be. In fact, in the past, it was only the potential threat of it that seemed to motivate MLAs. If you cut them all off now,
yep.
I mean, you're not talking about, 100 or 90 naturally wealthy landowners here who can just retreat to their country estates and live off the interest. Quite a lot of them will have to go and find another job themselves. They could have easily come on to you with a sob story, just as you are now.
Okay.
So they're going to have to go off and find another way to make a living.
Okay,
and
so
you could find that our political representatives simply drift away from the interest.
Okay, I hear that, and there's a lot of logic behind that. But there's not even a threat from Brokenshire. There's not even any leverage from Brokenshire of cutting it on a sliding scale, as you remind us happened in the past. So should that happen? Should there be a timeline in this? Should there be deadlines?
Not over the summer. Nobody was expecting a deal over the summer. And I think that to start waving your hands in the air right now, when in fact we have a natural break in the process for everyone to calm down, would be an overreaction.
What do you think of what Newton Emerson has said this morning? 0-30-30-80-55-55. William in East Belfast. Overreaction, William, morning to you.
I'm going to try and stay rational here. I was 6 hours in the Ulster Hospital, A&E. Now, I wasn't 6 hours waiting. I was at the coalface watching doctors, people with heart problems. I want at least 50% of the MLAs march through these A&Es to see this problem. It is, I'm trying to stop the anger of the scene. It was firefighting all the way for people's health. While all I get from you two, Stephen, is gay marriage and an Irish language. It's the last thing.
You're not getting that from me. I, believe it or not, I'm not deciding what's on the agenda
for the
negotiations.
Don't be taking the needle. Stick to what I'm saying.
I'm not taking the needle at all.
Stick to what I'm saying. I'm sick and tired of listening to gay marriage. I'm sick and tired of bonfires. I want these people to march around these A&Es to see which way they're leaving Northern Ireland. They're a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. And I'm trying to keep Rice, no.
But William, to talk to Newton Emerson's point, he's still on the line this morning. He is saying, look, it would be an overreaction to cut their pay because they would have to pay their bills elsewhere. They would have to get other jobs. We need these people, and the summer is not the time to do it.
Right. Let me start first again. I've got that out of my system about the NEO a little. Let me tell you, this has been on for 20 years. I'm talking about the peace process. I hear James Brookenshire, who's only new to the game, mentioned, I can back 5 secretaries of state. They get the blame of it all the time. It's so stupid. Then I hear, oh, the DUP's linked up with the Tories. The Tories had a coalition with the Liberals. Same thing happened in passes. She had a good majority before Christmas. DUP weren't in the picture. Again, an impasse. Martin McGuinness dies. No DUP pulling strings at the Tories. The whole thing is just one big bowl of stew of nonsense. And I'm going to get to it now. Let's turn around and always be brave. Enough is more than enough.
Okay.
No more money. If you want to come back after the summer and deal these problems, you'll get paid. Until then, bye-bye.
Newton Emerson, just before you do go this morning, so what timeline would you put on the MLAs in terms of a reasonable timeline after which their pay is affected?
Well, before I answer that, I think I should agree with your caller that, in fact, this has very little to do with the restoration of the executive because it's been trying and failing to rationalise the health service for 20 years. But I think that an autumn timeline for an October election is probably an optimistic timescale at this point.